We are on the Gospel of Mark, and it has been a struggle sometimes to both teach the Word and to minister in the Spirit, and we could have continued more in the Spirit, but I believe when we reach the shorter books, we have more time for ministry. But we want to also teach the Word of God. Let's go to God in prayer as we look into the Gospel of Mark. Father God, we ask that you grant to each one of us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We pray, O God, that you would cause an understanding to rise from our hearts and our lives. We pray, O Father God, that you would quicken your word. Let your word be like a two-edged sword to each one of us and divide asunder soul and spirit. Father, we ask that you unfold to us the life of Jesus Christ. Reveal it to us, O God. Open our understanding to see the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And cause us, O Lord, to see some principles wherewith we could be like Jesus Christ. Thank you, O God, that you continue to cause our understanding to be increased in our understanding of the things of God. Father, we pray for each one here, Lord, and for the respective churches that are represented here. We pray, O God, that they would continue to be a blessing in each one of their homes and in each one of their churches. We pray for each one here, O God. We pray for the ministers and leaders represented here. That you continue, Lord, to cause them to be filled with your love, filled with your grace. And cause your word, Lord, to continue to come alive to them. We invite the Holy Spirit of truth to open truth to us, to show us the nuggets of truth. Oh, Father God, let there be an outpouring of your Spirit of truth upon us tonight, so that, Lord, we will see Jesus in a deeper dimension, that we will see a new facet of the life of Jesus that we never see before clearly. Thank you, Father God. We promise, O God, that in all that you do, we will give you all the glory, all the worship and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. The Gospel of Mark has 16 chapters. And although Mark himself was not one of the 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Gospel of Mark has been also known and referred to by the early church fathers, especially by one guy named Justin Martyr, as the Gospel of Peter. And I know that there are apocryphal writings called the Gospel of Peter too. But the Gospel of Mark is essentially Peter's Gospel. Mark was more or less writing all the accounts that Peter, the apostle, had shared with him in his time that he was with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are some incidences that we want to point to that show us that Peter had a very close hand involved in this Gospel. Things that are not mentioned in the other Gospel. For example, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, in verse 29, it says, "Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John." Now only Peter would have known that that house also belonged to his brother Andrew. In all the other Gospels, they said that Jesus entered into the house of Simon. And it takes someone who is there and who has knowledge of the tenancy of the house to know that that house also belonged to Andrew. Only Peter would have known that. So Peter makes sure that it was recorded as a house of Simon, that is Peter himself, and Andrew. He shared that house with Andrew. And there are other passages, like in the denial of Jesus Christ, which is aptly recorded here. There are some details given to us, like in Mark chapter 14, verse 72. Compared to the other Gospels, it says that Peter wept bitterly, and that's all. It didn't mention how and why. It just mentions that when Jesus looked at him, he just wept bitterly. But here, in Mark chapter 14, verse 72, it says, "Then a second time the rooster crowed, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him. Before the rooster crows
Twice you will deny me three times. Now only Peter would have known what he actually recalled and what he was thinking about at that time. And he says, and when he thought about it, he wept. So only Peter wouldn't have known what was going on in his mind when Jesus looked at him. Just compare with the Gospel of Luke, in the denial, we are not given the inside information of what was going on in Peter's mind. In chapter 22 of the Gospel of Luke, verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Then Peter went out and wept bitterly. But whereas in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, it says that when he thought about it, he remembered what Jesus said. But as he left, as he kept thinking about it, when he thought about it, he wept. He remembered that Jesus had warned him. Jesus had prophesied what would have happened to him. Other places that only Peter would have paid attention to are like in Mark 16, verse 7. But go and tell his disciples and Peter. All the other Gospels, right? Go and tell the disciples that I am risen and that I go before you to Galilee. But here, Mark records that Jesus specially mentioned Peter. Go and tell the disciples and especially Peter that I am risen and go before you to Galilee. Because he wanted Peter to lead the other disciples. Remember, he told him that when thou art turned again, strengthen thy brethren. So these are indications, there are a lot of other indications that Peter had a hand involved in this gospel, either through recounting it unto Mark, and Mark recorded it down. The Gospel of Matthew is symbolized as a lion. The Gospel of Mark, the ox. The Gospel of Luke is the face of the man. And the Gospel of John is the eagle. And each one emphasizes different things. The Gospel of Matthew emphasizes Jesus Christ, the King, the Messiah. The Gospel of Mark, Jesus, the servant, the ox. And Luke, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. And John, the Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is only in the Gospel of Mark that the word for Lord, L-O-R-D, which in the Greek is the word kurios, is seldom mentioned until towards the ending in Mark 16. Now, I know that it's mentioned once in Mark chapter 7, when a Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus and called him Lord. But that word in its context, if you look carefully, is more speaking about Jesus, calling him like an address, like Sir. Whereas in all the other Gospels, the word Lord occurs quite frequently. Because here Mark, as he writes the Gospel according to Peter, was wanting to present Jesus as the servant. He completely removed all the genealogy because for a servant, the genealogy is not important. Who you are or where you came from, unlike Matthew and Luke and John. It's the only Gospel that doesn't list any genealogy. At least the Gospel of Matthew and Luke list the genealogy. Matthew lists it in chapter 1, Luke in chapter 4. And John at least says about the beginning of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Talks about the beginning. Mark completely ignores it, for he's trying to present Jesus as a servant. And the word Lord is only mentioned after the servant has completed all those things and God crowns him. He's risen from the dead and is referred to as Lord. Some of the familiar incidences that we can turn to is like, for example, in the Gospel of Mark. Let's look at the Gospel of Mark. In the Passover. In chapter 14, the Passover in Mark chapter 14, says here, in verse 19, and they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? If you cross-reference to the other gospel, it says, Lord, is it I? Mark removes the Lord out of the picture. And not only that, he removes also references or rebukes that have come against Bethsaida and Tyre and Sidon, etc. He removes all these things and he presents Jesus as a humble servant. That's the Gospel of Mark. Let's look now at the Gospel of Mark, and we see from Mark chapter 1 right up to chapter 8 forms the first division. Somewhere in the middle of somewhere towards the ending of chapter 8, there is a movement and a change in the gospel story. Now the gospel in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Straight away he begins with the story of John the Baptist. Doesn't tell you how John the Baptist came about, just started with his preaching ministry. And by the time he reached verse 13, he has Jesus Christ anointed by the Holy Spirit, tempted for 40 days, and he complete in 12 verses, in 12 and 13 verses, what it took Matthew 4 chapters to complete. Now some of us may read the Gospel of Mark and say, this is the shortest Gospel, it's a summary. It will be wrong. For if you remove all the sections of Matthew, although Matthew is 28 chapters, it will take out all the genealogy and all the Sermon on the Mount and all the teaching and the preaching which Mark completely sort of didn't cover that detail. Doesn't even have the Sermon on the Mount. If you remove all the sections, the Gospel of Matthew story, the stories and all the action that Jesus did, would be much smaller than the Gospel of Mark. In fact, the Gospel of Mark gives more details in the story than the other Gospels. Just take, for example, one of the stories like the Gospel of Mark chapter 9, the story of the deliverance of the boy whom the disciples couldn't cast the demon out from. Only Mark gives a lot of details. It's Mark who tells you that when Jesus came down, what the disciples were doing, that they were questioning with and debating with the Pharisees and the Pharisees that were there, what they were doing. And it was only Mark who records how the Father came to him, knelt down and asked Jesus to heal his son. Only Mark has all these details. Mark, the Gospel of Mark seems to be more like a camera view of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives you details that others do not give, and Mark concentrates on action. The most frequent word that occurs is the Greek word euteos, which is translated immediately, straight away, and immediately. It always comes immediately and immediately. It's an action gospel. Mark seems to be interested in the action. See, as a servant, they were trying to emphasize Jesus' works. The works of the Lord Jesus Christ, what Jesus did. And only the Gospel of Mark gives some inside story of the feelings of Jesus, like how he was angry and he was grieved when they were watching him, whether he wanted to heal the man with a withered hand. And it tells you that Jesus was displeased with his disciples when they brought children and they didn't allow the children to come to him. It tells you the feelings of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Mark. Now let's look at the Gospel of Mark, and we want to trace a certain theme here. First of all, we want to show how the power of the Lord increased from Mark chapter 1 until its height towards Mark chapter 8. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus began his ministry in verse 14 after John was put in prison. In verse 14, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And as Mark starts off the gospel, Mark tells us certain details and certain things that took place. Immediately he begins in verse 21 with preaching in Capernaum. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately, see the word immediately again, on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And then there was a case of a deliverance. And verse 28, immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Then in verse 29, and as soon as they come out of the synagogue, they enter the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came in, took her by the hand, and lifted her up. Only Mark tells you that he used his hand.